welcome everybody. And I wanted to go right into the episode with that, but I like couldn't do it because I was suddenly what do I say? Hello everybody and welcome to this episode of the Hair to Camera Podcast. I am your host Marshall and this is my co-host Dylan.
Hello, hello.
So today we are talking about the Dark Mechanicus. Or Dark Mechanicum. See, this is exactly why I have to do this. So we have to go over a little bit of reminding / history. So there is, before the Horus Heresy, right? Mars was once kind of mirror Earth. It'd been terraformed, reclaimed during the height of the, you know, old humanity in the, you know, the dark age of technology. It was a mirrored Earth, like, right? It was like almost a secondary kind of paradise of a world. And then when the Age of Strife happened, it was as if essentially just like nuclear gigantic nuclear holocaust went through Mars, much like it did on Earth, but in a very different way. Where in Earth, it was just kind of more like, you know, Mad Max warmongering destruction, where it was on Mars just kind of straight up just like everything is a nightmare. Everything is a like straight up nuclear nightmare. So the only way to survive was to hold up into forts and kind of being kept alive by technology. Thus came the Cult Mechanicus, the religious following of those who believe in the machine god, the machine spirit, and then eventually the Omnissiah, which was the belief in the emperor being the prophet of said machine god. And thus, when they inevitably took power over Mars, that governmental body was the Mechanicum.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's the Cult Mechanicus who then has members of the Mechanicum in power. Which then leads to eventually those who stayed loyal after we will talk about the schism in a moment. But after kind of there's the Horus Heresy, those who stayed loyal then found the Adeptus Mechanicus.
Yes.
So at this point in 40K, the only group that is the Mechanicum is the Dark Mechanicum, which technically are, in a way, just the Mechanicum. And we'll get to that in a second. But I just want to make sure it's clear. So if we ever talk about the Mechanicum, that is going to be those who betrayed the Imperium and kind of joined Horus in the Heresy. And then if we ever say Mechanicus, it's going to be those who are the Loyalists.
Okay.
I very may mess this up as we go through this whole episode, but I'm going to really try to make sure I am on top of things with that because it's clearly not confusing in any way. This is something that you'll see a lot of, especially like it's one of those clear things that like if you're like become like a mega lore nerd, and especially then you're like very much like an actually kind of person.
Oh yeah, this is peak like trick question that I can get somebody with to prove that I'm more adept at Warhammer lore than they are.
Oh, it's coming. It's there. There it is.
No, I'm repressing it.
It's coming. This podcast is beginning. It's taking shape.
Nope. I'm a free man.
Well, you know who also wished to be free? Members of the Mechanicum. Yes. So kind of horsey. Oh my god.
Yo.
There was a better, you know what? There was a different joke to make from what I said. And I'm really glad you took the one that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to acknowledge the one that it could have been. Anyway, so Horace gets stabbed by a really stinky blade. And then the Chaos Gods save his life. And thus he decides he's going to go on this heresy. Someone goes to Kelbor Hall, the current Fabricator General, or essentially the leader of the Mechanicum of Mars. They kind of come to him and are like, hey, you and I, we're a little bit on the same page here. The Emperor showed up and, you know, he kind of made us take this deal where we, you know, we couldn't research AI. We can't touch anything that has to do with warp and chaos. You know, we have to keep this vault, this like special vault on Mars. We have to keep it closed forever. And it's like, so this kind of sucks, right? Like, you know, we have a bunch of these people who obviously like think he's some omniscient, but we know he's kind of just like a gigantic, you know, like tyrannical douchebag, right? So
yeah, he's a very naughty boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we join this Horus guy? He is the real shit. And, you know, then you can get a bunch of extra stuff and we'll give you a little bit of, you know, extra juice. And he was like, why would I do that? Why would I trade one tyrannical overlord for another? I mean, he's still just a normal human. And in a way, he's another giant human, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why? I feel like I'm just tit for tat here, you know? And then he's like, you know, well, now what if we got rid of all of your research restriction? Everything's open, you know? And he's like, this is cool. But then he's like, but, well, we acquired a bunch of STCs. Which, if you recall, and this is for the audience too, STCs are essentially everything the Mechanicus wants to, the Mechanicum wants to look for, right? Even back then, the Mechanicum was all about finding STCs just to get all that technology back from the Dark Age of Technology. And the Sons of Horus had brought in this kind of group called the Aurician Technocracy, and they had a bunch of STCs. And so they're like, yo, we'll give you all of them. And he's like, that's super tempting, but I need something. I need the icing on the cake. And then he was like, those vaults, those secret vaults that you want open, that you wish, the vaults of Moravec, the thing that the Emperor made you swear that you would never open, you can open that shit. Open that shit up. That's when he hit like the, you know, that's just like when, you know, you just see him like slam the button, you know, like he just punches his fist into the treachery button. Whether it was robotic or not, different question. But yeah, so Kelbor Hall is like, all right, let's do this. And he kind of takes the side of Horus and attempts to bring the entirety of the Mechanicum over to the side of Horus. And he ends up being pretty successful. He joins Horus. And the reality is actually that on Mars, the Mechanicum wins out. Those who were loyal, the loyalists of the Mechanicum, they lose the war. Mars entirely is sided with Horus. And obviously this is a great boon for Horus because, you know, the only way that he was ever going to do at all good in this battle was going to be if he could get Mars on his side, or at least,
yeah,
or at least get him split up, right? Because obviously by then getting Mars on his side now you had all these other Forge worlds that were out there, and they were, you know, they're picking sides, right? You have some who are vehemently picking each side. You have a couple who are maybe just being like, oh, let's see who wins out. Let's just wait it out. Let's just sit back
and see what happens here.
Put our earmuffs on, you know, and let's just, we're going to pretend like, oh, what? Nothing. What's going on out there? Like, oh, that's crazy. But how's it going? Oh, you guys are winning. Okay. Yeah. We'll help you out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like,
yeah, I can spare an afternoon.
But, you know, they end up winning out. Mars ends up going to the side of Horus. So then you've got obviously a number of other Forge worlds who join in the fight. There's actually like one of the things that is like really, I don't know, maybe necessarily important, but like one of the things that I think really does the Horus Heresy justice about like, why was it so devastating? You know, like, why was it so bad that like, you know, now 40K is somehow worse than it? Like, how is 40K worse than where we were at just 10,000 years earlier? Did like
39K.
Yeah. Like did religious doctrina really like saddle it that hard? And the answer is not necessarily. The reality is, there was like one of the things that I think really illustrates how devastatingly massive the technological usage in the Horus Heresy is through the epic scale game of Legions Imperialis, where like where you could actually like truly like showcase what a battle in the like to truly represent a whole war for like a planet in Horus Heresy is to play this epic scale game where like something the size of a Baneblade or a Titan, like a Baneblade is like the size of a 40K, like the game, tabletop game, like a 40K Rhino and like a Titan.
Or like a spinning giant top, Titan, you know?
Like. Yeah, like a giant Titan is the size of a knight.
Okay.
And then like the small Titans are the size of a dreadnought. You know, like they have to shrink it down to truly make it so that you can run, like, instead of running one knight and that's most of your army, you can run a slew of knights and that's a unit or like a small group, you know, like that's how the Horus Heresy was. It was such a massive amount of especially just tech shooting at each other on all of these planets. Like all of the technology that was used against each other was devastatingly strong, because it's a lot easier when we look at it, especially in a game format where we're like, yeah, so they had Titans and whatnot. But like, when you remember that, like a Titan is like the size of like a small city, like of our time, like you put, you know, if you, what's like a good, if you took like, what's a good, like decent, but still like not a huge, if you took like St. Louis and you put it on a mech, that's like an emperor class Titan. And yeah, sure, that's the biggest to get, but like, that's just walking around on your planet shooting at stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that happens more than once in the Horus Heresy, you know, like it's not just one thing that travels. That travels somewhere. Somebody pilots that.
Right.
Obviously, multiple people pilot that, but still, you know my point.
Yeah, definitely.
So having the Mechanicum was of so much importance. And thus, you know, we kind of got into earlier, like obviously then you got the people who then went back to humanity and Earth, and they founded the Mechanicus. But the Mechanicum had seemingly won the fight until around when they actually kind of maybe were, Because what ended up happening during the fighting was they kind of ended up going into a bit of a lockdown on Mars itself. So they were able to, they were beginning to put stuff out and get stuff ready for Horus and getting the field out to other Forge worlds, but Mars itself ended up kind of getting locked down. And so, you know, Horus's fleet kind of came by, and so they just kind of hung out. But hey, Horus died. So where's the first stop when you begin your great scouring to get rid of all the traitors?
Chili's.
Oh, yeah, Chili's, otherwise known as the planet right next to you.
$1 margaritas on this planet. Let's go.
Yeah, they're kind of just like, they pulled the, like, they like see, or like you could, it's like the idea of like they see Horus dying, like one long drag of a cigarette. So time to start running, huh? So Kelbor Hall and his many followers get the fuck out of Dodge. So thus, like many of the other Chaos Space Marine, you know, allies that they had, many flee into the Eye of Terror, which the kind of thing to always remember, we kind of brought this up recently, but like the special thing about the Eye of Terror is to always remember that because it's this kind of half realm where like it's like very tainted, but like half warp technology ish. We brought this up in the Primarch list when we talked about some of the Chaos worlds that the, especially like Lorgar lives on, for example.
Yes, yes.
You know, they still have like planets with humans, question mark, and like other beings, but like they're able to go there and quotation marks live. You know, and so many of them go there. Others maybe just kind of go to like really far reaching spots where they kind of just hide out, you know. So there are, you know, there are Forge worlds that are still loyal to the Dark Mechanicum in real space, those being called Hell Forges, which we'll get to in a minute, a little bit, just touch on. But yeah, so like they flee, they're out. Nobody's, Kelbor Hall has not been seen since the fall of Horus and the end of the Horsehair. But if I were a betting man, a lot of people want Dark Mechanicum to show up in 40K as a faction. If they were to do that, they were to bring them in, I would say that most likely if they bring back Dark Mechanicum or properly bring Dark Mechanicum into 40K, they're like Belisarius Call, you know, they're kind of like figurehead character would probably be Kelbor Hall. Because if anybody like Belisarius Call has kept himself alive for 10,000 years, it would be him.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Dark Mechanicum, obviously, as it stands, still exists today. You will find them, as I kind of alluded to, them in what are called Hell Forges now, because, you know, they're evil and chaos. So instead of Forge Worlds, they're Hell Forges.
Cute. I mean, spooky, yeah. Scary. Ooh, so intimidating.
So, I mean, this is the thing, right? So not all Hell Forges are the same. Because obviously, this is kind of a good note to bring up the fact that, like, while many Dark Mechanicum members are known for partaking in chaos and warp shenanigans, not all of them have. And in fact, it's actually very important when I mentioned earlier that this is why many label themselves as just the Mechanicum, members of the Mechanicum. Because while many of them, there are many who do not wish to deal with, you know, the warp and chaos. They kind of just still want to do, I mean, there are some that just want to have essentially unrestricted technological research. Some of them maybe don't want to deal with, you know, demons and all that because they've seen obviously maybe what they do, but there are those who maybe are on what could be slated as quote unquote hell forges, but are not truly hell forges as you would think, but are just forge worlds that serve members of the Mechanicum that are not loyal to the Imperium, right? A good example of this actually is within one of the Rosette War books. In one of the segments, what they actually end up dealing with is a traitorous a traitor tech priest. That name escaped me for a second. Tech priest who isn't chaos tainted per se. You know, the person that she was working with was, you know, they were a psyker who just kind of got sick, twisted, and just like essentially just hated the Imperium, and then kind of got a bit of a torture fetish, and specifically for his like former Inquisitor teacher master. But like she, the tech priest, was just seemingly more interested in just being able to kind of just do whatever she wanted when it came to like just research, kind of utilizing seemingly just technologies that were technically illegal. But for example, like a Forge Fiend doesn't come out, you know, like, you know, the Haldrake, the thing that's in Space Marine 2. They don't fight one of those, right? Like, it's just kind of this realm of like, it's a little bit, if anything, clearly it sounded like a lot more in the book, but they were kind of leaning in the AI realm rather than chaos. But obviously Abominable Intelligence is not good and not legal for the Adeptus Mechanicus and in the Imperium. So thus anybody who even wants to research AI, you know, are labeled heretics as well. Well, it's specifically heretics with a T-E-K. So these different Forge worlds / hell forges, because obviously is the Imperium, all these names and stuff are obviously based on Imperial record, and thus an Imperial record will label even a not chaos driven Forge world. But if it's a traitor, they'll label it a Hellforge.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At least as far as I can tell, like, it just seems like they just run it this way. Obviously, most of the ones that I see listed are Dark Mechanicum specifically, but it's something that one of those things where like I kind of have to imagine. Otherwise, I mean, maybe they just call it a Forge world that's been taken over by traitors, you know? They're like, okay, this is still a Forge world. It's just a traitor. Like, maybe they do that, but like there wasn't a name for it. So as far as I can tell, it's just one of those things where it's just like the Imperium just slapped a big name on it unless they take it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which they've done a couple times. Like, there's things that are like that with the Imperium. So that is what it is. But especially in Hell Forges, the ones by like Ruinous Powers, you will find there where they will be obviously using a large number of human and mutant slaves and thus conducting a fair amount of warp shenanigans, like building demon engines, you know, butting with, you know, the balance of life and warp fuel technology. You know, what are the various ways that we can meld flesh with metal and using with warp kind of almost spells or warp stuff? Can we, what weird horror can we create?
It's important to have hobbies, you know?
Yeah. And there are obviously, you know, certain foundries and or hell forges that are sworn to, you know, help different legions or like the Chaos Legions. You know, for example, there is a Hellforge called the Toil, which is technically kind of headed by the Iron Warriors, you know, and while technically there is no life on it, it, you know, has, it was kind of within Toil that they had created a good number of demon engines and kind of almost created like a playground, if you will. But the main thing with the rest of the Dark Mechanicum that is kind of very important to note is that, you know, the Mechanicum are somewhat free to, you know, research what they want, right? So while many are part of the true Dark Mechanicum and they, you know, deal with a lot of warp stuff, as I kind of alluded to, right? You know, one of the big things that at least is fairly common between all members of the Mechanicum is they're kind of somewhat actually even similar approach to just brutal efficiency that the true Mechanicus or that the Adeptus Mechanicus has. And some of that would be like in, you know, if you were a slave on some Hell Forge, you know, you would, you know, you might notice, oh, like, or they might be like, oh, so this machine broke and, you know, it snapped off two of your arms. Well, we'll give you some menial task job that requires only your legs. And then we'll take your arms and use pieces of it for other things. Like we'll use your flesh for this type of, you know, for this parchment, for this, you know, chaos war scroll, or, you know, we'll use your bones to supplement this thing and to make it, you know, give it, you know, to use the calcium and make it more rigid, you know, or we'll use these as a part of this experiment. And then, you know, if something happens to your legs, then we'll take those. And then once we'll just
take,
you
them.
Know, keep you fed. And then we'll, and then if you lose those, you know, we'll keep you fed. But then when we need the other parts of you, and just harvest when we need it. So yeah. Like,
just take as you go.
Yeah. Not good for the servant, obviously, but they're not taking it just because of just like, you know, they're like, you know, it's not in that realm where they're like, yes, the pain, good, screech for me, you know, like they're doing this because it's like, all right, well, you lost the arm. We could use you though in this thing where you essentially run on a treadmill and essentially you're a hamster on a wheel. Just do that. And then, you know, like we'll just use your arms to actually like make stuff work, you know, because we have stuff we could use your arms for. And that's kind of the thing, right? Like, it's just this, like, it's this mindless, not even mindless, just emotionless efficiency where it's just, hey, we know where we can make use of this over here. We can put you over here. That's how it goes. Thanks for helping out. A lot of the Dark Mechanicum members just may do other things, or they'll just be like, well, sorry, you lost your arm, but we need some souls for this, this ritual to put a demon into this machine. The toaster's been on the fritz, and we realized the best way to repair it is just to put a demon in it that we could talk to.
Would you believe it? The McFlurry machine, it's acting up again. If you want to just give me your liver real quick. The demon's upset.
Sacrifice your soul to appease the ice cream machine.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea. No, I love the
idea.
We had
customers waiting, so, look, you know, chap chap.
I love the idea of like the ice cream machine broke meme being just like a really, it works so much funnier when you think of it as just like a temperamental machine spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
oh,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
The spirit of the machine is just like, I don't want to fucking work today. Well, how would you feel if you don't get paid ever to work? Fuck you. I'm not doing shit. All right. Sorry. Ice cream machine broke. He got real. He's getting real existential today. Just come back tomorrow. He sleeps it off. Before we get into some of the warp stuff, let's kind of talk a little bit. So, you know, there's a group of people that do, in fact, kind of think like, hey, we think AI could work. You know, like, yeah, they messed it up, but we know now, right? It's kind of like that thought of like, there's no way we would make the same mistakes again. So hubris potential aside, there are, is a good group of people that do kind of think like, you know, maybe we could make this work. Whether, and there are always all similarly, there are those that think the way to make it work is to imbue it with chaos energy. Granted, if we're truly thinking about the fact that like AI turned against us, I don't know necessarily how chaos energy would make it more subservient. But regardless, that is a thing that people do look into, and that people, and that those of the Dark Mechanicum do wish and think that they can do. I mean, there is, you know, there is like a period where like, it was like in a Gaunt's Ghost novel, which is like a series of books that were like very early 40K, but like are one of those like all timers kind of hits series. And it like, I imagine they hold up actually still pretty decently. They're kind of like one of those series where it's like, it's very much kind of like ragtag group of humans take care of blank. And so like, I'm sure there's a number, but there's like a point where they like go back into what I think what appears to be like part of the Dark Age of Technology. And they like go onto a world that was like kind of like eradicated by the Men of Iron. And they like see what like looks like, or like, oh no, no, that does happen, but I think I'm thinking of it differently. Sorry, this is more just a reference that came to my head at this moment rather than like something I planned for. But like, no, I think it's like they like turn on a machine in some factory, and then all of a sudden it starts like spitting out chaos warped Men of Iron. They like get it shut down, but they like essentially like just are these like straight up Terminators. And there are old, miniatures that are actually like chaos androids.
Oh, okay.
And there is, I think, some reference to them still existing, but they haven't had like a mini in ages. They often, what I've noticed is that they often actually get errantly seen. And I think I even actually ended up falling into that same thing with the Necrons episode. I've noticed that they errantly end up put into the design of old Necrons. It's like the design that people would use for the very first Necron. Yeah, because like the actual first Necron models will still have like the kind of like tomb or like the like Egyptian coffin-esque look on their chest. Whereas like the Chaos Android models still had like, were just like chunky robots with chaos markings on them, but they look very similar, so it could be hard to tell, which is why I don't really blame people when they use those images for Necrons, or like, you know, like the first Necrons.
Yeah.
But regardless, there are those who actually even, there are those in the Dark Mechanicum who actually even do, would almost bring back the Men of Iron, you know? And to be honest, like, I think to some extent though, for especially like where a lot of Dark Mechanicum are at this point, right? You think about it, if they have the thought where it's like, hey, let's try this again, but like, look at the Votan, right? They have an entire society and like culture and everything. And they are in great harmonious spirit with their AI. What if we were similar? We ourselves see ourselves as ascending above our humanity. We could find a kinship with these AI, right? But then in the case, especially of the Men of Iron, because the Men of Iron are not just the warriors of those AI, right? The Men of Iron are just a name. Essentially, really, they are just a name for the AI beings, like the robots that were, and like cyborgs and everything that were around during the dark age of technology and a little bit before that. You know, as humanity expanded, they were, while they had like these AI cyborg companions, they were somewhat clearly still, or at least they felt like they were still subservient to the humanity. Whereas obviously like those in the Dark Mechanicum, or just Normal Mechanicum, depending on your how you flavor yourself, they believe that they could find themselves to be more their equal, right? So that part of maybe what they would do, you know, to circumvent the errors of the past would be because they are essentially equals or view themselves as such, you know? Otherwise, members of the Dark Mechanicum, so those who especially utilize chaos energies, obviously do have a number of different kind of types of creatures and ways that they deal with things. So you'll definitely find them make use of servitors plenty, you know. They, you know, they have that going for them. But then the other thing that they are obviously a big hand in, while also with the Iron Warriors, they do too have a large hand in their demon engines.
Here we
we'll
go.
Have, now we're talking. We'll have a whole episode just about the demon engines themselves.
Ah, like, tease.
I know, but we'll talk a little bit. So like, for example, like just because of like, obviously this is the shit that they do, right? You know, so right. Like, you know, like these are just straight up, you know, partial technology, just, and then partial demon, right? Like essentially they build a machine, and then instead of it just being, you know, run by a machine spirit, they just put a literal demon inside of it.
They're like kaiju.
Sure. I don't have that reference. I'm sorry.
Sure, bud.
So, you know,
whatever you say, champ.
One, you know, demon engine that anybody who has played Space Marine 2 has gotten themselves familiar with is that of the Hell Drake. A basically, you know, like robot, like mechanical dragon that is employed by the dark
employed
the dark or yeah that is yeah. Or you know whatever that is used by chaos forces of all kinds, which is funny just for how that works. Again, this is a fusion, so there is a machine, essentially like a draconic machine, and then they put a demon inside of it, and then it is permanently fused and piloted by a space marine.
So it's okay. So the machine portion is like an exoskeleton, and then the demon gets put into it, but the demon's not actually like piloting themselves. Like there's a space like marine that still pilots riding them.
Think of it as like the machine is, the machine creates the body. The demon they build the dragon body. The demon becomes the dragon's soul. So it essentially is almost like a dragon. And then they fuse a space marine inside of it in order to then ride the dragon. So it's like, you know, like somebody steers a horse, you know, or you see like in like Fire Emblem and shit, like where somebody's a dragon rider, they're doing that.
Do they need these like demons' souls to function? Like, is that what allows them to like operate?
Oh, I mean, it sure as hell what makes them what they are.
Okay.
Is there a solution that could be done to maybe forego the demon part? Sure, maybe.
Yeah, switch to dark souls.
Is the Dark Mechanicus or Chaos Space Marines beings that utilize it going to utilize do that? No, because it's a hell of a lot stronger when it's got a demon in it. Because that's kind of the sad reality, and I mean sad from the perspective of those who fight against it, of chaos. Is the reality is, while chaos is, you know, does all these negative things, the reality is it gives you power, you know? Like, the Horus didn't just almost beat the Emperor because of good, you know, just trying to create good plot line. he essentially became the emperor level equivalent just because of chaos power, right? Like, he was the emperor's created son. So he was, from the beginning, always going to be less powerful, never going to ascend to any realm of power near the emperor. But he got, because he was able to get jacked up from power from the chaos gods, all four, and so just the warp as a whole, he pretty much equaled the emperor, you know, in power.
Okay.
Hence the horrid destruction that happened to the emperor in that fight, you know? So, like, that's a big aspect to it, where it's just like, you know, like, so, like, having a demon inside of a demon engine will just make it stronger than if it didn't. Because granted, like, you can see, like, on this, on, like, the Forge Fiend, which is this one with, like, the guns on it, you know, like, it has guns on it. Like, you could just make it a walking, like, essentially like a walker, just like a walking, you know, like, Gatling gun or plasma cannon wielding beast, right? Or you could infuse it with a demon so that not only shoots those things, but then shoots hellfire out of its mouth.
Why have one weapon when you can have two?
Yes. Especially when the other is effectively the powers of hell working on your side. But it isn't just demon engines. There is, in fact, so this is a type of, I guess the best way to put it would be like classification of cyborg. Or of like robot, called the Silica Mutis, otherwise known as Stalkers. And these are purely constructs used by the Dark Mechanicum, specifically during the Horus Heresy, though I wouldn't be surprised if there are some of these kicking around somewhere, and if the Dark Mechanicum came back, that they wouldn't be useful, you know, useful models to utilize. Or to make, give them something unique. Given that they were unique in the first place. but these are essentially just like these, you know, spider walking cyborg, or not cyborgs, constructs. And they are especially used for tracking, predicting enemy movements. Obviously, they have firepower on them, so they are good, but they're generally, especially some, certain patterns are better used for close combat. So they, while are not fully autonomous, they have seemingly exhibited a form of like collective intelligence. So they have like a bit of like, it's kind of like the concept of in the machine spirit, right? And it's kind of like the idea that they let the machine spirit just think a little bit for itself, but they cannot still move and act without a bit of controller.
Yeah.
So when they have a controller construct, which, for example, one of them is kind of the leading ones, called a Cyclops, it is said that they could break free from their usual restrictions, demonstrating a higher level of learning. And so, like the issue with many great chaos things, while this could lead to some potential disobedience, because they are just so adaptable because of the essentially kind of more free thinking that they were given as constructs, they just made them more devastating, right? Because it's the concept of battling an AI. It's constantly able to study and immediately calculate a way to deal with you. That's what these, obviously, all these Terminator reality, like, stories and sci-fi tropes. This is just like a light version of that, because like the reality is you hit it with a big enough rocket, it's gonna go down still.
Yeah,
it might adapt if it survives. So, because it's not like they're perfectly adept at dodging every bullet. So these, though, were part of a result to opening the vaults of Moravec, those forbidden vaults on Mars. Thus, which is why they were only allowed to be utilized by the Mechanicum during the war, during the Horus Heresy. Obviously, that's kind of where the question would become in terms of like, this is the big reason why we don't really see many of them anymore. But it would definitely lay into reason why you would also, they also would then only be a part of the Dark Mechanica and the other Mechanica members that were traitors, because they are obviously the only ones that would be willing to use it. Because once, I didn't mention this, but it goes without saying, when the Mechanicus took Mars back from the Mechanica, they closed that shit back up. You know?
That makes
sense.
They're
like, we're going to hold to the treaty that was created. Close it up.
Yep.
There's supposedly a lot of crazy shit in that. Because that's the thing, right? It's so, there's so much shit in there that the Emperor was like, you never open it. Don't ever open it. And a kind of, there is theory that like, there is probably a number of AI in that vault that are either just dormant, you know, or just obviously locked up tight. But yeah, so these stalkers do have a number of patterns that obviously are just kind of set for different different use cases. You know, we don't need to kind of go into all of those, but yeah, there are, they, those are an example of kind of, these are kind of an example of like the kind of strange, but you know, different types of constructs that they are willing to make, because they freed themselves from that, you know, kind of from all the restrictions that they would normally otherwise have under the Treaty of Mars.
Right.
Because this is kind of AI, but not fully, but kind of. Probably too much for anybody in the side of the Mechanicus. So.
Yeah. Draw a line there.
Yeah. Otherwise, I want to, before we get into the next couple things, I want to get into that of Lucas Cron. So he was a tech priest, well, really of the Mechanicum, and he was the master of one of Mars's largest forges. And one of the big things that he ended up really getting into, was the concept of AI. He is one of those that was really like miffed on the Emperor's ban of the research of artificial intelligence, and was like, sorry bro, but I'm gonna just kind of secretly look into that on my own time. And thus he had ended up creating something shortly before the heresy began called the Kaban machine.
Oh.
What? It doesn't look friendly to you.
Nothing. Nothing. You know, no, it's no. It's chill. He's chill, you know. Definitely so, not horrifying in any way.
Yes, so you know, he had once he had kind of sent it out on a number of kind of essentially almost kind of practice missions. And then it was cited by a member of the Knights of Tyrannus. And they, one of those knights engaged it, and he had a real tough time.
Oh, I bet.
And where they were, so after it was seen that first time, a reactor exploded and it disappeared. It was then later found on a cargo holder or hauler. And when they, when this person found it, Krom kind of just like shows up with a bunch of Skitarii, and it just kind of like, is just kind of like, hello, I'm Krom. Come here, boy. And like the machine just starts coming, just walks over to him, like, or rolls over to him. And he just like turns it around on that dude who found it, shoots him down. And then kind of throughout the rest of the heresy, it just kind of kept, he just kept using it. And not much is said or really known about what happened to it afterward. In fact, I don't actually know if there's also any. Yeah, I don't think there's any word on what happened to Krom really during or after the heresy either. Well, so as far as we know, Crom and his Kaban machine are out there.
Well, that's, I was going to ask. So like this, then this would have to have taken place after Fire Emblem Awakening, right?
Shut the fuck up. I was like, God damn it. I was waiting. The second, because
if it was before, then we would know. We would know what he got up to after.
I was fucking waiting. I was like, the second I said his name was Crom, I'm like, it's gonna come at some point. There's gonna be one. There's gonna be a reference.
It's gonna be a fire emblem.
It's gonna
mechana come.
Oh god.
Is what you're saying?
Jesus. See, that's what's funny though, T, though, is because you really have to emphasize when you talk about the dark mechanicum a lot of times, right? Or like the mechanicum in terms of like pre-heresy or whatever, you know, you have to like emphasize mechanicum.
Yeah.
And so like that immediately elicits.
You gotta put the umlaut on it.
Well, I'm just saying like that immediately elicits snickers from so many people, you know?
Nah.
You know, we're adults. It's just like, especially like when I have to say, like, you have to emphasize the cum, like it really doesn't sell it. Doesn't help you. It doesn't do you any favors.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. What were you gonna say?
No, you're good. You're good. I was gonna just say another stupid thing. So please continue.
Oh, what? You don't want to go for now?
Look, I'm just, if it's good enough for Crom's tiny, tiny feet, it's good enough for me. That's all I was going to say.
Looking at
we're not
the
here to talk
Crom,
about
I'm,
that.
I'm going
to
say, looking at this Crom, it definitely don't look tiny.
I don't see his
mostly
feet.
Mostly robotic.
That's
though.
All I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't see his feet.
Yeah, it's right here. It's
I see legs, but I don't see feet.
He's got this like Mega Man foot. Oh, look, he's got this like Mega Man foot right here.
He could have a Frank Miller situation going on. He could have tiny, tiny feet sitting under those.
But yes, the last kind of fun weird machine thing that isn't a demon engine that I want to talk about is the Bronze Malefix. So these...
Looks like the final boss of Vector Man.
These are products of what is called from the Augmetic Skole. And these are kind of warp tainted, machines, kind of built from corruptions of Adeptus Mechanicus rituals. Oh my goodness. And the madness and mind rust of those involved led to the creation of these ugly arrangements of bronze augmetic infused with a murderous spirit from the warp.
Okay, two things. First, mind rust, crazy. Why? second of all, it's reminding me of like a rat's, or not a rat's, a rat king. Jeez.
Oh.
Kept wanting to say rat's tail, but that's like the part of it. Yeah, but like a rat king. Where it's just like this amalgam.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. Like, these would just appear if they're inactive, right? It would just look like a heap of just war-damaged augmetic arms and different limbs. And then just, like, as if a guardsman had just been thrown into it, you know? Like, yeah. It just kind of looks like this, like, heap of crap. But then... You know, all the reality is like all the limbs are like welded together that they just kind of like that they can perfectly articulate. You know, they can move, they can get into the or they can like make their way through structures and doorways or windows. And they're just like it. And when it just moves, it just kind of moves like the beast, like where it just stammers towards you, like when it runs at you, just like the front legs giving it this like momentum as it just kind of like huffs forward. But then all these other like claw arms are just like, you know, like scraping against each other, getting ready to swipe. And they are I mean, they are motivated purely by their hunger for death and pain. They, you know, and they just, they find a fascination with like medical tools like saws, scalpels, hooks, clamps, probes, because obviously it kind of fits a lot of the different, you know, the look of a lot of the different appendage or, you know, machinations that are on it. And so they, yeah, I mean, like these just kind of like get a conglomerated together and then just go to town on a murder spree.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just the type of thing you get with when you have free thinking in the Mechanicum. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't really have all too much else about, you know, the Dark Mechanicum / Mechanicum. You know, like they are a varied bunch, right?
Yeah,
you definitely. Know, obviously they are similarly to every other chaos aligned war band and whatever, or war group. You know, they're just as similarly bereft of all, or fit with all manner of infighting and betrayals and all that. So thus why they have not ever flown to the same degree and benefit as you have seen from the, in the times of the Horus Heresy. But that is who they are now. They are essentially just variant levels of different, what is will be classified as tech heresy to the Imperium, but in varied ways. Not all chaos, but not necessarily all, like, not like any of them are really necessarily, I wouldn't call any of them any type of like Robin Hood either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't betray the Imperium because they thought it was worse. They just thought they could do better.
Yeah.
At what the Imperium was doing already.
it's two sides of the same coin over there.
Yeah. But yeah, any other questions about the Dark Mechanicum?
No. I continue to think that they're really cool. I love it. I don't think I say it a lot, but I love that whole prospect of like the way that the Dark Mechanicum kind of split off. I mean, you heard in my voice how excited I was about the demon engines. That stuff is like so cool to me. The Hell Drakes, the Stalkers, like all that stuff rules. So I'm just all about that.
Yeah, it's really why I really want them to make Dark Mechanicum, you know, like I want it slowly. I don't know if it's worth doing in some regard, but there's a couple times where I want to maybe grab like maybe certain Skitarii or like kind of some other things and just like take some of the chaos like bits that I have from, especially like left over from my Nemesis Clawkill team box, mm-hmm. and just like, you know, put them on them, like the horns and some stuff. Cause I would love to run a Dark Mechanicum because they're just like, honestly, just because of shit like the demon engines.
Yeah.
And even the Stalkers, like I think the Stalkers are so cool. You know, they're like, they kind of remind me though of that like Star Wars, like Spider Walker droid.
Yeah. You're talking about like the episode 2 ones.
Yeah.
Geonosis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, that's kind of what I think about with a lot of Dark Mechanicum kind of unique technology is, and like their automata is, I kind of think of the way that the Trade Federation thought of droids, especially because like you think about it, like they got, I know there was a lore reason why, and I don't remember anymore because I haven't been deep in Star Wars lore for like 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah, that's fair.
But like there was like a reason. There was like an in lore reason why, like, for example, the droids for episode 1 versus the droids at episode 3 suddenly had a shit ton of personality. There was like a reason for that. And like, I think part of that is kind of from what I remember, it was like something in the way that they were be kind of being built and whatnot. It kind of like fit to like some of the way I think the Dark Mechanicum was, right? Because it was a little bit, some of, I think, the aspects of the droid stuff. And by all means, if you're a Star Wars lore person in the comments, you can let me know. But like, I thought I remember like part of it was like, you know, kind of with like setting some of that stuff up, that there would be like, they're kind of looking into like making the droids kind of more AI, you know, like a little more self-aware. Right. Cause like technically all the droids are like AI, but they're just not as like, they don't have the same self-awareness. Cause that's like forcibly like put in Star Wars lore. That's like forcibly turned off. It's illegal to have self-awareness in droids. Hence why they're not allowed to have emotion. Despite that, C-3PO gets seemingly clearly knows the emotion of fear.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
But anyway, yeah, like, but like that kind of feels like very Mechanicum, right? Where it's just like they're just like especially with the stalker, right? Where they're very droid like, where it's like they're very much like AI. They're just not self aware. It's very much feels like that Star Wars droid, which again, the Mechanicus wouldn't even get anywhere near. They're like, it's got to be piloted. There has to be a human brain in there. That's the only way it can move on its own. It's got to be a remote or a human brain in there. One or the other.
Yep.
That was the big thing that I kind of really, that I really liked about them. So I really hope they get added as a faction, because that would be sick. Otherwise, yeah, if you've got nothing else, I think we can kind of get ourselves out of here.
All right.
Otherwise, tune in next week for something. I've been very busy lately, so I've had a lot of trouble like getting episodes planned out.
Don't worry, I've got this. Tune in next week when I split off from this podcast that is hosted by two people, and I start my own sub podcast called the Dark Heretic Hammerum. It's gonna get three times as many listeners in the same amount of time. It's gonna be super successful. Tons of ads. I'm gonna be pushing Raycon like crazy. It's gonna be great. It'll be super good. We never needed the Emperor anyway. Okay, we're good. We're better off without him.
Which is funny because we're already Heretic Hammer.
Yep,
we're a fucking all right. Eldar. Eldar. We can and always Gwavesa. Be.
We can always be more Heretic, though. We can always be more Heretic.
We're an Eldar and a Gwavesa talking about Warhammer. The Imperium and the rest of the universe. We've really hit every realm of Heretic Hammer that we could.
But that knob can still go to 11. That's all I'm saying.
All right. See you next time.
Goodbye.